Today's special episode is brought to you by Starting Points, Operationally Curious Questions. Begin pre-event learning with our best-selling Operationally Curious Conversation Starters. Download the app at startingpoints.app or the App Store, and purchase card decks at www.startingpointcards.com.
On today's episode of the Op Nerd Podcast, there you go, a little American Idol, something going on there. I want to talk about operational reality, operational fantasy. I want to talk about Hop. I want to talk about all that stuff. Let's just go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Well, let me change it. Lou's got the flu and he's laid up. Sorry, I've had Roger Miller brain lately. I'm a huge Roger Miller fan. My musical taste is all over the map, y'all. I mean, you know that if you go check out the Hop Nerd official playlist on Spotify, it's there. I mean, I think there's like three of you that maybe listen to it, because I think most of you probably listen to it and go, what the? It is all over the map. But I always forget to tell you about it. It's there if you're interested in some show tuneskies, like stuff that kind of have to do with those things I listen to. I just randomly throw stuff on there that I like. But I have been in a huge Roger Miller like fest for like the past, God, I don't know, month, something like that. Just nonstop. I think I'm driving my family crazy. Like everybody's just walking around singing, "You can't roller skate in a buffalo." Yeah, and like it's, I think I'm driving them a bit nuts, but I'm enjoying it. So I don't know. There, now you've got those songs stuck in your head for probably at least the next month. But welcome, welcome to the podcast. I am your hostesses. With the mostestest cold brew, that's for sure. I'm happy to be here, happy to be having another conversation with you about all things human and organizational performance and anything in between and anything that we feel like talking about. But before we get into that, speaking of Spotify, make sure you check out Daryl the Safety Man's album over there. Number one triple platinum chart topper and hits. A safety album only has to get 8 downloads to be a chart-topping hit. To be a triple platinum chart-topping hit. I think it's actually gold. I think it's gold. I'm waiting on Daryl's gold record plaque to show up. He told me he would gift me one now that it has been certified that he has had at least 8 total downloads. You can check that out on Spotify. If you don't have Spotify, I would probably tell you, let me see if it's the right. I always get this wrong. Safety Daryl. Daryl is spelled Darrell.com. Safety, Darrell, 2 R's, 2 L's, .com. And you can listen to the album right there on the internet. There's a player right there. I think, hold on, did it load? Oh, there is a player. Look at that. And I could just turn that on. Oh, you can't hear it because it's in my headphones. Never mind. I thought I was going to be able to play it for you. Duh. I got headphones on. You can't hear what's in my headphones. So go check it out. SafetyDarrell.com. The reason why I put it there is because if you got Spotify, you just go download it. But to do this, I didn't know this. I learned this when I was helping Daryl put out his album. That to get it on streaming services, you got to go through like a thing, and then like it goes like it's like a publisher thing, and then it sends out to like the different streaming platforms, kind of like a podcast service a bit. But then there's like you got to pay to do some of this stuff. It's kind of weird. But yeah, I don't know if it's free on iTunes because I don't use iTunes. I don't know if you have like Apple Music, if it's just included. I don't know because I know when we were pushing it out, they like set the price on it at like you download the album for like $7 or something. Don't do that. Don't do that unless you just want to show Daryl some love. But a much better way to show Daryl some love is to go pick up some of his Daryl the Safety Man merch. He's got some cool Safety Man merch over there, and I think he's working on some more. And speaking of merch, you can go to thehopnerd.com/shop. We've got all kinds of cool stuff over there. I'm on the website right now, but just because I pulled this up, you know, as an error reduction tool to try my best to not send you in the wrong direction. There's a couple things, and I love this stuff. I make stuff that I will wear. Yeah, so the cool thing about it is you get stuff that's kind of me. Yeah, because I probably buy more of it than anybody else does. That's how small-time merch goes, y'all. But there's some cool ones. We just made some wacky ones. I made some wacky ones. There's stuff over there. The one that I really like right now are these golf rope cap. Yeah, and these hats are cool. And I'm a hat nerd. I'm a hat and a t-shirt nerd. I'm weird about hats and t-shirts. T-shirts especially. I've been on this mission of trying to get less fat, and I've gotten really serious about it over about the past month. Down some poundages. I'm down some poundages, y'all. If you're into vlogging and stuff like that, I'm doing some vlogging stuff about everything that's going on around here and that, getting less fat, and everything else over on the YouTube channel, along with the Sammy and D episodes, along with the normal videos, along with shorts. And so go follow there. Plus, you get all that stuff in 4K instead of the 1080 crap that I have to put on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn, for some reason, won't up-process my videos. I think that's because I end up in LinkedIn jail probably too much, because I post a lot of stuff that's not supposed to be on LinkedIn, I think. Yeah, professional, page, starchy. But the merch store, back to the merch store. My favorite is the golf rope caps. They're like snapbacks. They fit good. I got a fat head. They fit good on a fat head. I can tell you that. Fat head approved. And the designs, I've got this one now that's called the Horror. Right now it's the first one that you see, and it's kind of like old school Frankenstein monster kind of bleedy letters that just says the Hop Nerd. It's cool. There's some Daryl the Safety Man stuff over there as well. And then a bunch of cool designs, if you just scroll on down, that we worked with like actual artists to design stuff. Like, not just like, hey, pull stuff together in Canva. I mean, I do my fair share of that too. I think I got a pretty good stinking eye. I do use more Photoshop, I will tell you, than Canva, but we worked with actual artists. Yeah, so cool stuff, like hand-drawn, cool stuff over there. All kinds of different logos to fit your style. And mine changes pretty much daily, to be honest with you. Whatever mood I'm in, if I'm wearing a skull with a lightning bolt t-shirt or a guy in a cooler full of ice. You know, it's a dry heat. We're repping Arizona here, y'all. Or it's the beachy vibe, or it's the tarot card vibe. Or I've even got the I Hate the Hop Nerd shirt. A little tribute to Elvis out there, right? I hate Elvis. You know, the cool old Elvis buttons that were out there. There it is. Everything's there. So check those things out. I told you to follow along on YouTube, and make sure you're following along anywhere else you can follow along. We're putting out all these videos, all the stuff. Check out the books. And last but not least, let me know if you need a hand to thehopnerd@gmail.com, or you can head over to the website, thehopnerd.com, for free resources. You can check out more services that I offer. You can check out Starting Point cards and app. You can book an initial consult. That's super duper easy peasy lemon squeezy. You just jump right on my calendar and we are rocking and rolling. We can have a conversation and talk about how we can do some really, really, really cool things together. So here we go. Today's episode. Delicious, delicious cold brew, y'all. So I almost didn't record this episode today, if I'm going to be completely transparent with you. And I am. I hope that you have learned to know me, grown to know me well enough that I don't hold anything back. And what you see is what you get. And I don't think, in my personal opinion, there's any other way to live your life. But that is a conversation for another day. All this is to say that to be completely, totally, brutally transparent with you, I didn't feel like recording a podcast today. I just didn't feel like it. And I told you, I've been on this diet thing for a minute. I promise this all goes together. It's not just me rambling. And so I'd been in here working on some stuff, bunch of emails, like office stuff, you know, business stuff. It's just normal. We all deal with that. It's just part of our life. And not bad emails, like catching up with folks and planning work and, you know, normal stuff. And but I'd been locked in here for a minute. And I got up and I went in the kitchen. I had my breakfast this morning. I had some hard-boiled eggs and some oatmeal. I'm being good, I promise. Yep. Overnight oats. Yeah, with oat milk and no sugar and like a handful of berries. Yeah, pretty good. And some, I'll say hard-boiled eggs, but like soft to medium boiled eggs. That's the ticket. Fight me. That's the ticket. Hard-boiled eggs taste like chalk. Sorry. They do. If you want to take them next level, we've been doing the marinated ones. So I'm a hillbilly, y'all. I love a good pickled egg. I like the old beet pickled eggs. You know, the pink ones? Yeah. We used to get them at the roller skating rink where I lived. You get them at the bowling alley. They're right there next to the pig's feet. Yeah, you know what I'm talking. You know what I'm talking about. And so I haven't quite convinced the family here to go down that rabbit hole of pickled eggs, even though they're freaking delicious. But we started doing marinated eggs, like the Japanese style marinade. I think they're Japanese style. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But like the kind you get in like ramen and stuff. And so I've been marinating them and just making different concoctions with those. The ones I made recently, hot chili flake stuff, right? Soy sauce, yeah, a little like splash of sake in there, let them set for a couple days. Delicious, wake you up first thing in the morning. But I'd made some yogurt to eat later. I went in there to get my yogurt after taking a break, right? And again, I'm doing this thing. I've been doing it for about a month now. Plain non-fat yogurt, some whey protein mixed in that, and some of that little, you know, that cinnamon toast crunch powder you buy in the grocery store. Yeah, just a little bit of that on top. Mm-hmm. Delicious, delicious. And then I went to get out this thing of kombucha that I have in there. And I usually, it's mine. It's just me that drinks out of it. And it's this, I say that because I drink straight out of the jug. It's this big old like 2-liter looking glass bottle. And I take a couple swigs of that every day. I just enjoy it. It's like a nice little refreshing treat mid-morning in between cold brew and trying to drink gallons of water on top of that. And then I was looking at it and it said like wisdom or positive words for your day or something on the side of it. I'm just having all these thoughts about how I don't want to record this podcast today. And it has nothing to do with you guys. I love hanging out here and having this conversation with you. I just wanted to maybe just go like screw off for a while. I just had the blahs for a second. And I look on the side and it said, life is not a problem to fix. Life is a reality to experience. Now, the reason why that made me come in here and do this podcast is because I'd already jotted down on my notes that I wanted to talk a bit about operational reality. And in particular, operational reality versus operational fantasy. And I think that quote is a great place to start. I really do. Think about that for a second. Life is not a problem to fix, but a reality to experience. Let's rephrase that a bit for our purposes and say that work is not something to fix, but a reality to experience or a reality to learn more about. Now, the reason why I say it like that is because we get into fix-it mode as people and we think work is a problem to solve. Work is a problem to solve. And I think that was the actual quote on there. I don't know. It was something like that. I didn't bring the bottle with me. I'm too lazy to do that. I think it actually said life is not a problem to solve, but a reality to experience. So let's maybe rephrase it one more time. Work is not a problem to solve, but a reality to learn more about, a reality to discover. I think that goes right in line with what we talk about in our little world of human and organizational performance. We approach work with this idea, this mindset that work is a problem to solve, that people are a problem to solve, that accidents are a problem to solve, that efficiency is a problem to solve. And if we're just walking around trying to solve problems, we just view that as something to solve instead of something to experience. That's almost like dystopian hellscape world. And I think that's what we see in a lot of our organizations. That's why it feels so different than what it feels like when you get out of that setting. When you leave work and you go, oh, shake that off. Shake it off. I always mix that up with never mind. Shake and bake, baby. We're shaking it off. We're leaving and we're going, oh, thank God I'm out of that ickiness. Because I think some of it is that we view that experience is always is a problem to solve, is something to fix. We've had that conversation that even when we're thinking about that fix, improve kind of thing, it should be improved, not so much on fix. And there's a lot to unpack there that I don't really feel like rambling on and on and on and on about, because that's not the point of today's episode. But back to our quote, Work is not a problem to solve. It's a reality to learn more about. The reason why that stood out to me is that we go in with this idea of solving problems instead of learning more. But the problem with that is that you can't really solve problems. And let's scratch out solve problems and say you can't improve very well unless you learn more. But we prioritize fixing over learning. And then we're surprised that our fixing doesn't work out how we'd hoped that it would work out. Yeah. And the reason for that is because we haven't really gained any understanding of operational reality. Our improvement strategies on our better days and our fixes on, I won't call them our worst days, but our weirder days are being built on best guesses. They're not being built on operational reality. I use the strong words of operational fantasy that people poo-poo at all the time. How dare you? Yeah, of course. I get a lot of, how dare you? But it's true. The opposite of reality is fantasy. And if you're not tapping into reality and you're living in the land of make-believe, that is fantasy. Yeah, so poo-poo all you want. Yeah. But if we're not learning, if we're not tapping into that reality, and we're just viewing work as a problem to solve, and worse yet, a problem that we solve in a vacuum without seeking to understand, without any operational learning, without even touching base with those nearest to those problems, the people that actually have to live with those problems, we are living in the world of operational fantasy. It's this classic, now classic, black line, blue line discussion, right? Our plans, our procedures, our checklists, our paper, our ideas of how work happens versus how work actually gets done in the real world. This operational reality, this messy, dynamic, unpredictable, oftentimes surprising world of how work's actually done. Right. Again, in HOP, we tend to refer to that as black line, blue line. I like to refer to this a lot of times as operational reality versus operational fantasy because, I don't know, I like to be a little bit more on the nose maybe with it. I speak in hillbilly. Sorry if that offends some people, I guess. But even when we think about human and organizational performance, I really like to share that if we really zoom out and we talk about the intent here, like the point with this stuff, of these five HOP principles, of leading through these five HOP principles, what we're really trying to look for as the output is the ability to operation, learn, and improve. That's really what we're trying to do. Because we know that leading through those principles, we tend to create an environment in which honesty is possible. We tend to create an environment in which people can tell the truth. We create an environment when we lead through those principles, we prove it, we prove that we mean it, we show that we mean it. We really start to create an environment in which we can operationally learn and improve over time, in which we can tap into operational reality, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the scary, giving us that information that we need to actually create a meaningful change within our organizations, change that matters, change that actually changes things, change that actually positively changes things. Yeah, that's kind of the point. That's why when we think about this stuff, like the principles that error is normal, blame fixes nothing, context drives behavior, how we respond matters, learning is vital. Ooh, I got them out of order. I'm just rambling them off here, y'all. That's the point. That's the point. When we lead through those principles, we're really creating an environment that allows us to tap into operational reality. That ability to tap into operational reality is one of the most powerful tools that we have. It matters so much because it impacts everything. It's usually not just safety stuff, y'all. We know this. If I can't tell you about scratching my pinky, I definitely can't tell you that we've been having to bend the rules on timesheets. Yeah. If I can't tell you that I ran over a safety cone without you having to pull out your pants-proof executive depends for when you spring a leak under pressure, then I definitely can't tell you that we're having to get kind of weird with that rule that's not safety-related. I just can't tell you that stuff. We're depriving ourselves of that vitally needed information to make good operational decisions as leaders up and throughout our organizations. Operational reality matters for a lot of the reasons why we know that it matters. Again, I'm probably preaching to the choir with many of you, but we have to discover how work gets done from those that actually do the work, because they're the experts of how that work gets done. They have the lived experience and the ongoing lived experience in the present, in how it's functioning right now. They know where things work, where things don't work, where the pain points are, where workarounds exist, where the system is failing them, where they have to overperform our systems of work just to barely create success. They know, back to our classic example of the Jenga blocks, where blocks are missing. They know where blocks are there and they must stay there because they're the only blocks that are holding up the Jenga tower. They know where they have to maybe wedge some blocks over and shove in some chewing gum and cut one block in half and stick it in there and wrap a little bit of industrial grade duct tape around that bad boy so that it wobbles and wobbles and wobbles real, real hard and you freak out a little bit as an executive, but it never falls down. They know where all those things exist. Those things help us not only discover where we need to improve, but by listening and learning from those nearest to the work and co-creating solution sets with them, we discover how we need to improve. It helps us not only discover those areas that we probably had no line of sight to, And because you experience this, I've experienced this, I still experience this, like, I think that's the problem. And then when you go out and learn, they're like, nope. Hey, I know it looks like that's the problem, but that's a symptom. This is the problem. And they point you in an entirely different direction. Of course, your mind is blown. You are shocked in such a good way. You are left thinking, how could I not see? But you could not see because you do not live with that every single day. Not only does it help you discover those, but you come up with real and realistic ways to improve. The how to improve part of this. Effective how to improvements that matter because they were co-created with those folks that actually have to use them and know the most about the work. And the neat thing about that is what almost always spits out of that is not things that we would spit out of something like that. And what I mean by that, I'm going to say a you, me, we as professionals, as executives, as leaders, as safety professionals, we usually overcomplicate it. We're like, that looks easy to me. And people are like, nope. Yeah, it looks easy to you because you got lots of time. Yeah, looks easy to you. But you're not juggling chainsaws over here, flaming chainsaws. You're not doing that. Yeah, you're not doing that hanging upside down out of a tree with a flaming chainsaw. Yeah, you're not doing that. What spits out of that is not overcomplicated mess. It's not like 47 forms and 32 pages of stuff. It's usually simple, elegant, sexy. Yeah, it's clean. It's clean. It's this works extremely well and is very easy to do. That's what we're looking for. That's why tapping into operational reality and the subject matter experts of operational reality is vital. It's absolutely stinking vital if you want to create change that matters. If you want to create improvement that actually improves things for the better, for the better and for the long term, usually, because these are also usually pretty stinking sustainable over time. Now, the other thing that I want to highlight here, too, before we go any farther, is that there are many different sharp ends in your organization. And what I mean by that is sometimes people tend to get confused when we say learn from those nearest to the work. They automatically think that work. Yeah. So think point of work. They're thinking like wrench. My hand is on a wrench. That is the point of work. And of course, that can be the point of work. But if you're dealing with safety team problems that affect the safety team, that sharp end is not the person with their hand on the wrench necessarily. It could be, this is just a safety team problem and we need to improve this thing within the safety team. I don't want to go spend time with frontline leaders. I want to spend time with the safety team. That's the sharp end for that pain point problem issue. Of course it is. Of course it is. This is a leader something. This is a this or that. You're going to have various different sharp ends. So just don't get that confused. I've heard that conversation a bit and where it's like, I don't know. I'm not saying that people are wild out there, but sometimes I hear it's like, well, you know, it's to this. This is actually, you know, a front line leader problem. But you need to go spend time getting the opinion of people over there. Not necessarily. So think about what that sharp end, where that operational reality lives, and who lives nearest to it, who has to live with it. The point that I'm making is that I have to live with it, whatever the changes are going to be made. Or if you think there is a problem or there is a problem and you're thinking about who you need to learn from, you need to learn from the person that has to live with that problem. That's where you want to go. Sorry if that one was a little, you know, left field, off base, insert generic baseball reference here. But I just feel the need to throw that in there because I've heard that conversation kicked around a lot. I've heard it in a lot of sessions lately. It seems to be a bit of a confusion point that I think we probably just needed to mention there. Now, I think what I want to close with on this one, because I'm trying to shorten them down. I've been going for like an hour on these things lately, and I need to shorten this one down. I'm trying my best, y'all. I'm trying my absolute best. But it's this: ways to tap into operational reality. You know that learning teams are great for that. Of course they are. I kick around this idea of learning explorations a lot. We coined that phrase, and we have been kicking it. I have been kicking it around a bunch because I think there's something that precedes that, right? We're always looking for the super duper sexy, easy, clean way to be like, aha, there is the starting point for a formalized learning team. And those things are sometimes really clear and apparent, and a lot of times they're not. Yeah, and we're sitting there scratching our head going, how do I do pre-event operational learning? How do I discover operational reality? How do I discover the areas where we need to improve? I know they exist, but I'm not really getting anything real loud and clear on this. I don't want to wait for an event. Go learn. Yeah. Learning explorations. Cast a wide net. Pick an area and go be curious. Go ask better, more interesting questions. Not to like oversimplify this, but I think we usually don't oversimplify this. I think we overcomplicate this. We're like, if it's not like spitting out of some program where we put in cards and do it and it spits out magic answers, then we can't do it. If it's not like, you know, in the spreadsheet, if it's not like we overcomplicate it, and you don't have to overcomplicate this part. This is like the easy part. This is the part where you say, I don't know, but I'm going to go spend time with folks and ask interesting questions, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to learn something. And that's kind of the point here. It's not just about asking questions. It's about going out there in learn mode. It's about going out there in listen mode and truly listening. It's about going out there, even if you don't know what in the hell you're going to discover or where to start, pick something and go out there and spend time with people with good intent. Be genuinely, genuinely curious, well-intended operational curiosity. Focus on learning. Stay in the teach me, show me, and truly listen. Pay attention to the nuances. Pay attention to the unspoken communication. Pay attention to those subtle cues that reveal where people are struggling, even when they don't kind of want to tell you that they're struggling because maybe they just don't have that kind of relationship with you yet. Or maybe if you're like me, I don't want people to know that I'm struggling. I want people to think that I'm cool and badass and I'm going to get this done and there's no such thing as this. Yeah, go out there and be genuinely operationally curious. Of course, ask better questions. Yeah, we have starting points and all those things that can help you with that. They're out there. If you want to go starting point cards, pointcards.com or thehopner.com, they're at the top. But you don't need those cards. They're helpful. Getting a lot of feedback on how cool those cards are. Working with companies to develop their own internal card decks, which is really stinking cool. Those are fun projects. But you don't have to have those. Those are great tools you can put in your leaders' hands. Those are great resources you can put in people's hands to help them go out and cast that wide net. And then you're listening and you're finding those areas. You can group and you can bucket and you should. And, you know, you can hear something that sounds like engineering drawing sucks. They suck. They're horrible. And you're going to hear that a whole bunch. And then you're going to find that people say that in about 47 different ways. And then you're going to discover that, like, holy crap, like, we just have a problem with engineering drawings. These are all bucketed together. We don't have to do 47 learning teams on 47 different issues with engineering drawings. We need to do a learning team focused on why engineering drawing sucks and how we can make our engineering drawings not suck anymore. Yeah, duh. Like, don't overcomplicate this. Go out, be operationally curious, and tap into operational reality. You're not going to regret it. You're going to find some stuff that scares you. You're going to find some stuff that sounds like, Bob almost died over there last Tuesday and he didn't tell no nobody. And when you do, you can't freak out and go shit on Bob. You just can't. That's not how this works, because then you will never hear that story again. That's not a bad day. That's a good day. I know that doesn't feel like a good day, but when you tap into that reality, even when it's scary, especially when it's scary, it's giving you pre-event opportunities to improve. And as we said from the very beginning, instead of it being operational fantasies on a probably not so good day and on our best days with some of that, operational best guesses, educated, hopefully, operational best guesses, instead of it being that mess, you're dealing with real deal facts. You're dealing with real deal information. You're dealing with the good, the bad, the ugly, the scary. And that's exactly what we need in our complex, complicated, dynamic work world. That's all we can afford to have is real deal information. Because without that information, I don't have the stuff that I need as a leader, as a frontline leader, as an executive, as a safety person, as anything. I don't have the information that I need to create good, to make good operational decisions. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast and the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.